Good morning, everybody. We are doing great. We are on time. And I do have encouraging news. It has been shared with me that eventually it will get warmer. So it's a coming. So. All right. Looks like we've got everybody here. Let's bow the word of prayer before we get started. Almighty God, we are so very thankful for this Lord's Day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to get up in the morning, to take a moment to engage you in the avenue of prayer, to be thankful for the life that you've given us and for the opportunity you've given us once again to go into the world, to teach, to preach, to baptize, to be a servant in any and every way that our talents allow us to serve. We are so very thankful, Father, for your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for you, Almighty God, and for looking at us with compassion and with love, to not only give us your one and only Son as a blood sacrifice, one that is pure and unblemished, but also as our life and our existence here on earth, you've given us the Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, to be attentive to the Spirit, the way it leads us, the way it brings us understanding of the Word, and how we, as we become more intimate in our relationship with you and your Son, that our awareness of the Holy Spirit becomes greater and greater. Thank you for all of the blessings bestowed upon us. Thank you for this large day. Help us to set aside our worldly thoughts so that we may pause and meditate on the things that bring us closer and focus to the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to set this down just a little bit more because it's kind of loud. Okay. All right. So we're winding down. After this class, next week will be our last class for the quarter. Just an FYI, I'll be teaching the next 13 weeks. Good. Nobody left. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But we'll bring our spiritual warfare to conclusion next week. And I've kind of saved this for second to last. We've talked about our spiritual armor and what we need to be equipped to ready and prepared for the fight. The armament that we have to have, the ability we have to be able to wear it with confidence and strength, the ability we have to stand firm when it comes to facing our enemy, and the resources we have at our disposal to fortify our spiritual armor. We talked about prayer, and we talked about prayer in the importance in engaging with our God through the avenue of prayer. We talked about the importance of knowing God's Word, that as we strengthen ourselves, as we increase our spiritual knowledge of the Scripture, that fortifies us against Satan. And in addition to that, as we know the Scripture and we get to know our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we develop and we nurture that intimate relationship we have with Him. And by the avenue of prayer, our communication with Him reflects that intimacy. We understand how important it is when He says, "Ask and you will receive." We understand that as children, as babes in Christ, sometimes our requests can reflect the adolescence of our spiritual development. But as we mature, as we get into the meat of the Scripture, and we start to grow, and we start to understand what the Scripture means and how it applies to our lives, and how God in His infinite wisdom, going back to creation, developed this book of truth so that in our lives today and in the future, we will have a roadmap to salvation. We will have everything we need to overcome Satan. We'll have everything we need to prepare us and fortify us for our spiritual warfare. That avenue of prayer gives us the ability to draw from God the strength to pray for not only intellectual wisdom, but for spiritual wisdom. But he's not done. Today we'll talk about what is the driving force behind our Christianity. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the engine behind everything else that we've been given us. The Holy Spirit is what we receive when we come out of the water of baptism. The Holy Spirit mediates on our behalf here on earth. As babes in Christ, we understand the importance to become a Christian, but sometimes that adolescence doesn't allow us to be familiar with the questions or the requests that we need to ask of God to make us stronger Christians. Our maturity hasn't been achieved yet. The Holy Spirit helps us get through those times where we know our heart hurts. Maybe our struggles are so heavy on our shoulders that it puts us to our knees to the point to where our soul cries out. And that's about all we can do. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. The Holy Spirit, as we grow and mature in our faith, He helps us to understand the Word. And He guides us. And He walks with us through our spiritual journey. So as we come to understand the strength and the true privilege it is to have the Holy Spirit, let's not forget the relevance of how that affects our lives. We need power to live our lives as believers, answering the call to Christian discipleship. That power is the Holy Spirit. Christian believers have another helper in the spiritual warfare, John 16:13. The Spirit of Truth. He will guide us. And He will guide us into all truth. 2 Timothy 16:17. The person who masters the Word of God will never lose his or her way. That's important. If we master the Word, if we have the Word inscribed in our heart, we will less likely be deceived by Satan, or deceived by the demons, or deceived by the false prophets that exist in our world today. And that's important. We need to be ready. We need to be ready scripturally to test and challenge those people who profess to be preachers of the word, to know that they are truly well grounded in the faith and that they are truly preaching the true word of God. Paul lived an example of the essential connection between knowing God's word and applying it to our daily lives. Paul, that's our roadmap. He lived it to such an extent that his challenge on earth was either stay here and continue to teach and preach, or his desire to be at the side of Jesus, to be in that heavenly place, was just as strong. Because he knew the love. He had that intimate relationship. And that's something that we should strive for every day. Let's look at some contrasts between the Holy Spirit and Satan, the great deceiver. Now, I know in the past we've talked about Satan's appearance is something that can be somewhat elusive. He's not the red, fire-breathing, horned, spiked-tail being walking down the side of the street that we can recognize and completely avoid. It's just the opposite. But I chose today to use a picture here in a minute that will try to stress the importance and that contrast between what we see here. If somebody will turn to Matthew chapter 3, and if you'll read verses 13 through 17. Matthew chapter 3, 13 through 17, and then pick up verse 1 in chapter 4. Larry?
Then Jesus arrived from Galilee, Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized for you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil.
Okay. So as you can see here, Jesus coming down the water in a dove. How peaceful and tranquil is that? Is there anything intimidating or frightening about a dove? No, no. And this is something that we look, and naturally we can just look at that and just go, that's nice. That's sweet. That is a pleasant picture to look at. So the dove is a symbol of the love and the peacefulness. And then we have Satan, the serpent. Will somebody read Genesis 3, verses 1 and 2? Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.
Okay. So that's not a snake you want to keeping the little fish tank in the house, is it? If anything, that's a truer representation of what can happen if you get close to a snake. That is a physical and visual representation of what the devil is when it comes to Christianity, when it comes to true believers. There's nothing there that's cuddly and fuzzy. If anything, it has all the signs of warning and danger and stay away and don't touch. But yet we see when Christ was baptized, he received the dove, and then the Holy Spirit led him to the temptation. It wasn't the devil that enticed him. It wasn't the devil that grabbed him by the shoulder and said, "Come with me." And yet in the garden, we see this serpent whispering, twisting and turning the words of God, manipulating, deceiving, everything that is contradictory to the Holy Spirit. So we have the two. We have the dove, and we have the serpent. As true believers, it's not hard to decide on what team we want to be on. It's not hard to make the decision on whose side we want to be on. The contrast between the Holy Spirit and Satan, the great deceiver, we have the dove. We read in Matthew 3:37. We have the serpent in Genesis 3:1-2. Next, we have in Ephesians 5:18-19. If you want to turn to that, Ephesians 5:18-19. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Singing, making melody, songs and hymns. What does Paul tell us to do when we are in the midst of some of our most uncomfortable trials and tribulations? What did Paul do when he was in the dungeon of Rome? He sang. And he prayed. Yes, Larry, thank you. So we see that the dove, it says, be joyful, sing. And yet we see the serpent in Matthew 9:32, when the mutant man had a demon in him, the demon suppressed him, kept him mute. The devil is cunning, but he also grabs a hold of you and he's controlling. He doesn't want us as believers out there spreading the gospel, singing praises, and showing the world that there is a different way. That we truly are a different people. The Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit guides us. He brings us to a better and more spiritual understanding of the Scripture. As we commune together as believers and brothers and sisters in Christ, that is an opportunity for us to share our spiritual knowledge with one another. Even at our age, that gives us an opportunity to engage in the Scripture and somehow And some way, by somebody else's different view or perspective, we may have a new enlightenment on what a particular scripture means. It may be a scripture that we have read time and time and time again, and then all of a sudden the light comes on and we go, wow, I never saw it like that. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Satan is the father of lies. He will do everything he can, as we see and saw or read in Genesis, when he spoke to Eve and he twisted and he manipulated and he embellished and he made the fact that whatever he was presenting to Eve about knowledge, that it was something that she would benefit, regardless of what God said. And he was so successful that not only did she partake of the fruit, she presented it to Adam, and he did likewise. Our serpent, this serpent, is cunning. The advocate. The advocacy we have on earth through the Holy Spirit is something that we have been blessed with. It was not an afterthought. God had planned this for us in the beginning. Purposeful, by design. Because he knew our walk on earth, our spiritual battle, the spiritual warfare would be a challenge that we have never been faced with before. And that is his way of saying, because you made that commitment, that voluntary commitment to be a Christian, I'll do everything I can to provide you with the tools and the comfort to get through these challenges. We have an advocate here on earth. And let's not forget our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our advocate in heaven. That as we make our prayers, we make our petition to God, Jesus receives those prayers and he presents those prayers to God as a fragrant offering. He mediates on our behalf. So we're covered. We're covered here on earth, and we are covered in heaven on the spiritual. That is more reason for us to sing, to rejoice, to be confident in our Christianity. Satan, he's a slanderer. He will stand before God and he will slander us. He will lie on us. He will do everything he can to get God to turn his back on us. He will do everything he can to get us to turn on each other. It's one victory if he can take a believer and turn to his side. But how much more devastating it is for him to take an entire body of Christians and to have them fighting each other inwardly. And to be eventually saying, I got them all. That's what he does. He deceives. He lies. He slanders. If we allow him to get into our heart, and we don't recognize that, and we are susceptible to being lost and causing our brothers and sisters to stumble as well. Life-giving spirit, Romans 8:11. Life-giving. That's nothing to take shortly. That is instrumental to our Christianity. That is instrumental to us being true believers, in which we can stand firm in our faith, in which we can stand firm in our places that we engage the world on this earth. That we won't be ashamed for who we are. That we can truly reflect the light of Christ by the way we walk, by the way we talk, by our attitude, by just the way we present ourselves to the world. John 8:44 refers to him as the murderer. Could be even psychopathic. He has no feelings. He has no sorrow. It's all about him. It's all about destruction. It's all about doing as much damage to the spiritual community of true believers as he can. Because he was cast out of heaven, he wasn't able to be victorious over Christ. So the next best thing, I'm going to roam the earth, prowling like a lion, to devour any and every believer I can until my time is up. And that's what he's doing. 24/7. Deep things of God. The stronger we get, the more confident we get in the scriptures, and the more time we spend studying the true Word of God, our spiritual maturity grows and grows and grows. And it's reflected in our life. It's reflected in where we and how we participate at church. It's reflected in the lives that we have touched and the lives we continue to touch. But you know what? There's also deep things of Satan. Revelations 2:24. Satan is powerful. Satan has been given authority over us on this earth, and he will do everything he can to win us over. He will do everything he can to trip us up. His knowledge, his strength, is something we should not take lightly. He is formidable. And he is a foe that we should take seriously. This is what he can do. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. If we are not well versed in the scripture, if we do not have that intimate relationship with our Father in heaven, how are we going to know the difference? Do we see that today? I think it's pretty evident. This whole world is changing, and man, it is on a high-speed course to self-destruction. Larry talked the other day about how much more difficult it is to bring the Word of God to people. The challenges we have with our young kids, with the youth, and maybe challenges within our own children, regardless of how old they are. Perhaps even the challenges within our own family umbrella, aunts, uncles, cousins, nephews, nieces. Let alone our workplace. Let alone the people we encounter on a daily basis at work, at school. We're just standing in line at a QT. I can't even begin to teach or to stress what television is like anymore. There are no boundaries. It's a free-for-all. If we don't know the Scripture, how can we tell the truth from fiction? From the way Satan twists and manipulates and spins. I mean, we see it today on just the political confrontations we have between the left and the right. There's no discerning voice anymore. It's conflict and hatred. Matthew 4, 5 through 6, it says, Satan knows the Scripture. He quotes Psalms. If Satan knows the Scriptures, how much more at a disadvantage are we if we don't? I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't really become a Christian until I was college age. But I knew enough people in my little hometown who were of the local Church of Christ to know that at an early age, they could quote scripture. They not only read the Bible, they had it on their heart. I don't know, and I think we would be hard-pressed to find our kiddos with that kind of knowledge today. And I'm ashamed to say that. At times, it is hard-pressed just to be in church for a couple of hours on Sunday morning and Sunday night and on Wednesday. Heaven forbid if we go over 15 minutes. Somebody's getting mad. What does that say about our Christianity? I may be stepping on some toes. Maybe we need to think about that. Is going to supper, lunch, dinner that important? If our preacher has a good message to teach, to present to us the truth out of God's word, is an extra 15 minutes going to run our lives? I tell you what, with the attitude reflecting and trying to get out of here at that time is representative of maybe the devil working on us just a little bit. Knocking on that door, trying to find that crack, trying to find that fissure that says, well, they did it again. And that's just one thing. That's how subtle Satan works in our lives. And that's how important it is for us to strengthen ourselves, to surround ourselves with the Word. John 10:10 says that he's like a thief in the night. That's part of the cunning. That's part of the prowling. That's part of his desire to take the opportunity when we're not prepared, when we're not watching, when we're not at the ready to take advantage of us, to cause us to trip and to stumble. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, all power and false signs and wonders. He's got this in his game bag. He can manipulate. He can deceive. He can appeal to our senses, and he can make the worldly desires seem obtainable to us. And not just obtainable, but without consequences. Do you think Eve was concerned about death in the garden when she took the bite of the apple? It wasn't until the deed was done that the truth was revealed to her. And they were aware of their nakedness. And at that point, the clock started ticking down for man, for humans, for us. We have to be ready. We have to stand firm. And we have to understand who our enemy is. Acts 5:3 says, filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to that one. That's important. Let's turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 3. This is a story we're all familiar with. It says, then Ananias, hearing the words, fell down and breathed his last. Do we know why? Do we know what happened? What's the story here? You have a husband and wife who sold some land. They go to present their monies. But before they got there, what did they do? What did the two of them decide to do? Hold some back for themselves. Yeah.
And lied.
They lied. What was their punishment? They died, yeah. They didn't get put in time out. They didn't have to go sit in a corner with the little pointy hat on their head, did they? No. You didn't hear somebody in the background, especially those guys that were standing in the doorway going, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You better change your ways. They lied. And they lied to the Holy Spirit. We as humans on earth have been given some liberties. We're not little bitty Christian believer robots. But we've given the ability to decide between right and wrong. We've been given the ability to chart our own course through life. Do we develop character? Do we develop morals? Do we let the scripture guide us in our decision making? I'll tell you right now, you're not looking at a perfect individual. There's been plenty of times where I've had to ask for forgiveness. Maybe not by design, but the consequences reflected the same. There was a saying a long time ago, they had these little rubber bands, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Man, maybe we need to bring them back. At least it was a reminder. When you found yourself at the negotiations table, or if you found yourselves at a crossroads at work, where you go, I could benefit from this, but it's just not the right thing to do. Or it could just be flat out, if I do this, or if I do this, one's right and one's wrong. It's black and white. We have been given that opportunity to make those decisions. What guides us, what makes us and helps us to make the right decisions, I believe is proportional to our strength in the Scripture. Knowing who our Father is, knowing who our Savior is, knowing who we have on our sides to help us make us a different people. And that's important. Yeah, looks like I went over. So we have the contrast between the dove and the serpent. Is there any gray area in here? Can you all find any gray area? Is there a place we can sit on the fence and go, I'm in a good place. I really don't have to worry about this fight. What did they say about sitting on the fence? We could be a Humpty Dumpty, right? But the Scripture says, I will spew you from my mouth. In military terms, I would rather fight an enemy who I knew was convicted in their belief than to fight one that I could not identify. If you think riding the fence is going to get you to heaven, woo, are we sorely mistaken? That's why it's important for us right now at our age not to get complacent, not to become idle in our belief in our Christianity, not to feel like we have made it to the promised land, at least here on earth, and we can sit in our recliner and just relax and enjoy the golden years. Because this serpent right here is knocking at our doors. He's nipping at our heels. And the time that you let your guard down is the time that he's going to bite us. And that's when the challenge begins. Spiritual warfare. It's something not to take lightly. It's something that we need to be concerned with. And like I said, this is not pointing the finger accusatorily, but this is an opportunity for self-examination so that we know that we are still out there. We are still at our age, at all of our ages, we are still soldiers of Christ. We're not ready to be put out to pasture. There are still things we can do. There are still services that we can provide that will benefit Christianity and continually to make us good stewards of our discipleship. And you know what that does to the angels? You know what that does to those saints who are in heaven looking down upon us? That puts a smile on their face. The angels will rejoice. They will sing on our behalf. Okay, my time's up. Thank you all. Next week we'll bring this all to a conclusion. And I promise you won't have me for another 13 weeks.